In the practices of bodhicitta, we still remember and place importance on the practices of renunciation. Renunciation is very important with respect to Hinayana and Mahayana Buddhism. And then we include the wish, the aspiration, and the practice to bring and to benefit all sentient beings, that all sentient beings may attain enlightenment. A great practice of renunciation is remembering that all phenomena are illusory, are dreamlike in nature. And this realization is also included in the wisdom of bodhicitta. In all our practices, include, maintain the awareness of the illusory nature of all phenomena. The source of our suffering is our ignorance, and due to this ignorance, we have self-grasping. We perceive ourselves to be permanent and independent. And in our pursuit of happiness, we attach, and due to this attachment, the other afflictive emotions arise. We experience jealousy because people get what we desire or get in the way of what we desire. And when we have it, we have pride or arrogance. And if something happens that takes away what we want or what we have, then often we may experience anger. And also these afflictive emotions are due to our attachment. And this attachment arises due to our ignorance, due to our self-grasping. And what causes us the most suffering is our afflictive emotions. Our worst enemy wouldn't be able to drag us down to the three lower realms. Maybe in this lifetime they may cause us many, many problems, many difficulties. However, at the end of this lifetime, they won't influence us anymore. If we treat them very well, very kindly, irrespective of how nasty or horrible they are to us or how they harm us, there's a good chance that they might change. They might even become our friend. However, these afflictive emotions, they will never treat us nicely. They are our greatest enemy. They can drag us down to the lower realm. Even just a few moments of a few negative thoughts or afflictive emotions could drag us down to the three lower realms, cause us lifetimes of suffering. And they've hurt us lifetime after lifetime. These afflictive emotions, they never stop to ask, are you okay? Is there anything I can do to help you? What they do is they harm us again and again and again. A root problem to the cause of suffering is our self-grasping. And because of this wish to satisfy ourselves, we do all sorts of, or engage in all sorts of actions of body, speech, and mind in the attempt to bring us happiness. However, very often this is contrary to what we want to actually achieve. And these actions actually cause us suffering instead of resolving our suffering or alleviating our suffering. What we want to achieve and the actions that we are engaging in to achieve this happiness are at odds, and this is what ensnares us in the suffering of samsara. As Shantideva says, if all the harms, fears, and sufferings of the world arise from self-grasping, what need have I for such an evil spirit? If we really want to be free from suffering, the suffering of samsara, then we need to remove or destroy our worst enemy. And who is that worst enemy? The self-grasping. As a result of our self-grasping, all of these afflictions arise. What do we do so often? We're projecting our problems externally. Our unhappiness is always because somebody else is making us unhappy because of external phenomena, events we can't control, things happen that we don't expect. And when we continually blame everybody else, the world around us, we think that the world is very unfair. But how often do we look at ourselves as the source of the problem? And if the source of the problems is within ourselves, then it's within ourselves that we can resolve the problem. as Mahatma Gandhi said, if we all treat everyone that has wronged us with as an eye for an eye, we would all be blind by now. For ourselves to be able to satisfy our self-grasping, we might steal, we might cheat, we might lie, we might even kill. So obsessed with making ourselves happy, with satisfying our own attachment. And with the attachment, the more we have, the more we want. The more we drink, the thirstier we get, just like salt water. When you drink salt water, you get thirstier and thirstier. Look at some of these really rich people. There was one example, Getty in the States in the early 1900s. He was so wealthy. However, he was very miserly. And this happens to many people. The more they have, the tighter they hold on to what they have, what they possess. Some people even become so miserly, they have so much, yet they live so frugally. They're very reluctant to spend any money on anybody else, never mind even spend any money on themselves. And even although they have so much, they thirst for more. They want to get more power, more wealth. And as a result of the self-grasping, our mind is very narrow. And we don't see things the way they really are. There is the example of people with jaundice, and as a result of having jaundice, the white appears to them as yellow, and they really believe that the white is yellow. However, being cured from the disease, they then see, oh, that what I did see as yellow is actually white. And this is the same principle for the teachings. Due to our incorrect perceptions, we don't see things the way they really are. However, through Mahayana Buddhism and Great Perfection, we taught that this is the way things actually are, and then we provided with the methods to transform our perception back to seeing the way things the way they really are. This is an integral part of the practice of Buddhism, is understanding the way and investigating the way things really are, the true nature of this world, and realize the true nature of this world. As a Zen monk, Dogen, said, to study Buddhism is to study yourself, and to study the self is to forget the self, or to see that the self doesn't truly exist. Buddhists are often called the insiders. And why are they called the insiders? Because they learn to really understand themselves, their inner workings, to look in, to try and resolve the problem first within oneself, to really understand one's own mind and the true nature of one's own mind.